It is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Steve. And how are you? I heard you bumped your knee a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit swollen. It's okay. It's a little hot. Just a little ice, elevation, compression, whatever we need. You know, the old MCL. And I'm not talking about the buffet.
No, I was suddenly hungry.
Yeah, I'm talking about ye old tendon that's in there, and I think I did a number on it. So, anyhow, that's it.
Now you all know my,
now you know my physical ailments, everybody, and why I'm hobbling around. However, well, what do you do when you're when your faith walk is hobbling? When when you're stuck, when you feel that your faith is weak. What is it that we can do?
Yes, and I've heard that word, I'm stuck, so much lately. And so it made me think in my own life as far as tackling this, what do we do when our faith is stuck? You know, we're discouraged, we have anxiety, we can't really go anywhere. Yeah, we don't like being at home. And you know, all of a sudden it just kind of caves in on you. And years ago, when I thought about flying or I flew someplace, which I flew a lot, I was just terrified. I have to tell you, just terrified to get on that plane. There are too many plane accidents. And of course, in reality, they're not. But for me, I thought, you know what? This thing could just go down in a moment. And I got in a couple bad storms, you know, flying, and it was terrifying. And so I would do anything I could to keep from flying. But when I did, I'm not kidding you, I'd hang on to the armrest like a white knuckle, yeah, thinking that that was going to save me in some way. And it was just really disrupting my life. And I remember, just being covered with fear, just thinking about it. And I decided that I would just muster up the courage and do something about this fear to get rid of it. Now, this was before I was a believer. And of course, praying was not an option for me or even understanding that God can take care of fear. So I went to a nearby airstrip out in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'll never forget it. And marched myself right through a door marked flight instructor. And the next day, the instructor and I got in a small single prop airplane, and down the runway we went. And he looked at me, and I was obviously sweating and horrified that I would had done such a thing, but I couldn't get out of the plane at that point. But he looked at me and just said, listen, hang in there. And once you learn to fly on your own, once you understand this, the fear will go away. And you know, it took hours of study and many more hours of flying to get my license finally. And it's interesting, the anxiety, what he said was true. The anxiety went, left, and I learned to love flying. I saw it through different eyes, and because I knew about it, I understood it. And I've thought about that flight school as I wrestle with these times, we all do, that cause so many of us fear, anxiety. We even become disoriented, really, because our life has changed so much. But many of us, and some of you out there listening, we're stuck. Not only emotionally, but we're faith stuck, you know? And I think we need to talk about that this morning because God didn't design us to just grind through life. He designed us to trust in Him. And so I think as we're talking today about church closings and you know, all of this stuff, how can we grind through when the churches are closed? How does this work? What do we have to change in our life if we're trusting God? You know, what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that He's sovereign, Nancy, and we know that He's in control. But I think sometimes we live like or try to make decisions as if he's not in control. How do you answer that?
Yeah, and I think the answer is he is in control. But he allows what's happening to turn people to himself. And honestly, I don't know where you all are coming. It'd be an interesting conversation someday, but I believe this time is for Christians themselves to settle down and get their own faith in order. And I really do, because so many have a church faith where we're satisfied just going to church, or we go to a small group and that satisfies us for that week. And I think truly that God is saying, look, pray. I mean, seriously, read my word. Pray through my word and get yourself together spiritually as an individual, as a Christian. So, you know, we can go out and do what we've been called to do, but our faith has to be strong enough that, you know, conditions in the middle of these scary conditions, realizing with Christ, all things are possible. He not only can change the conditions, but if he doesn't, we can persevere through anything, because with God in us and leading us, you know, we can function not with our feelings, but with our faith. And you know what? That is such freedom that we have in Christ as Christians. God tells us in Isaiah 41, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." And then we see this intimacy of God saying, this is with you and me. We're going to do this. And then he says in Deuteronomy 31, 6, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave or forsake you. These are precious words from God saying, I didn't come to save groups of people. I came to have fellowship with you personally. Corporately, yes, you know, that we get together as a church, we pray for each other, we encourage each other, we meet each other's needs through Christ. We can do all these beautiful things in a church. But if we're not connected ourselves, it's not worth much. And so maybe we think about this in a little bit of a different way.
Well, Nancy, if God didn't design us to live in fear, then why do so many of us live in fear? We do this to ourselves.
Yeah, I think there's so many distractions. Mm. You know, if you're watching the news, I don't anymore. You know, that's one of the big distractions we have. But I think in general, the humanistic, godless culture, it really has infiltrated the Christian community. And I think through that and through pastors letting people hear what their itching ears want to hear, many have developed a casual, superficial relationship with God. In the gospel, the death and Christ rising again, that beautiful gospel from 2 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5, has gotten pushed aside. And the focus has become really, honestly, on what we can acquire, which is never enough, by the way, and on ourselves rather than on God. And I just think that when churches go soft in our thinking is shallow and our time with God is limited, even during the COVID times, that we need to kind of reevaluate and say, you know, what on earth is going on? What are we doing? What can we do? And I just think it's time for us all just to slow down and get back to the basics of our faith. You know, getting seriously into the scriptures and reading it by yourself and getting refreshed by God, praying to him to receive the glory by the way we love him and by the way we live our lives, even when no one's around. And I know, because God promises that, that we will have peace in the midst of turmoil. And I think we've all been thinking about 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, listen to this, pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear them from heaven and forgive them of their sin and heal their land. And we cannot go out to these people unless we've got our own stuff together spiritually. And that's the thing. We're called to be light in a dark world. And what would happen if those Christians in this city or Indiana or the country prayed for the healing of their own hearts and the healing of their land, you know? And seriously, I think a prayer for revival that requires those in this nation to humble themselves, collectively pray for healing. And if that happens, if Christians will get their stuff together, pray together for the healing of the land, scripture comes true. I mean, it says God will respond. And I think it's time for us to truly get serious about our faith, repent ourselves of whatever needs to be repented of. But ask for prayers for the nation and to pray. And honestly, I think if we get serious about this individually and then corporately with our church and our nation, we are going to see moral revival, personal regeneration, cultural restoration, because God is faithful in this, and it's time for the church to raise up. You know, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Listen to God's heart here. He's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Ezekiel 18, you, Lord God, take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from their ways and live. And how does that happen? When we get serious about our faith, when we have this incredible faith walk, with personal faith walk with our Lord, so we can go out, we can begin praying for the wicked. In Luke 15, here it is, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. So God is shouting out in love and pleading with us, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you, I will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Don't get distracted by your own emotions, but come to me. And, you know, they can shut all the doors they want, the government, but we have our scripture and we have our Bibles. And I'm hopeful that the Christians, the Christian community, through this time will take the opportunity to grow strong in their own faith and corporately come together and be a huge light in a very dark and disruptive world.
Well, we are to be that light. That's our scripture of the day, actually, Nancy. That's our scripture of the day. We are to be the salt and the light. We have got to. That's what this world needs. I'm looking here, and I do love that scripture that you've got here in Luke 15. You know, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. It is so true, you know, that humility of understanding that we are broken. Sometimes we're a little messy. Life just gets that way. And this has been a great word. Got to tell you, you're getting shout outs on the texting machine here saying what a great message from Nancy. So I want to share that with you as well until we can meet again and do this again for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week next week. Nancy, thank you for this one. What a great one.
Well, thank you again. Thanks for all you're doing, you know, for all of us. You're an encouragement every single day.
Well, you keep doing what you do, and we keep pointing everybody on over to anchorsaway.org. You go find that information, and you give Nancy a call. She'll walk you right through the biblical worldview.
Oh, yeah, and be excited to do it.